verse 1 to 2. I'm going to talk about having a fear of God. I'm not talking about shaking in your shoes type of fear, although we do need that occasionally too. And we're going to talk a little bit about that too, but how many of you, if I asked you this morning, if you had a fear of God, would know exactly what I was talking about? And would you have a healthy fear of God? Because a fear of God should be that we are standing in awe and reverence of God, right? Look, when we look at our scriptures, what it means. But first, have you ever heard of the term Christian atheist? Now you think, how is that even possible? You got a Christian, you got an atheist. They certainly don't go together, do they? Well, it's interesting. I found this term. And a Christian atheist, now we know what an atheist is. An atheist is one who does not believe in God. Although I always say an atheist does not exactly exist, because if you do not believe in something, you have to have a little bit of a belief that there is something to not believe in, right? So I don't even like the word atheist, because they have to believe in God in some sense to believe that there is no God. But a Christian atheist, what I found was interesting, is someone who believes in God but lives like God does not exist. How does that work? Because when we don't have a fear of God, then we come to church and we sit in the pew and we listen to the pastor, we praise God in the songs, we do what we're supposed to do, we go through the motions, and we pretend that we believe in God. Then when we leave the church doors, this stuff in here, it doesn't matter anymore. When we leave the church doors, the message that the pastor had preached, it goes out one ear, it goes in one ear and out the other, right? Now, I'm not saying everything that I say you have to hold on to and you have to remember. But what I am saying is whatever God tells you to hold on to and remember, that's what you need to remember. And when you walk out those doors, you need to keep it within you. Christian atheist is that we come, we believe, put on a good show, and we walk out the door, and we don't do anything for anybody. But more importantly, we don't do anything for Christ. We don't live like God exists. I asked your family members or your coworkers or maybe the person you're standing in line with, grocery store, if they believe that you are a Christian, what would they tell me? Now, some of you, your family will probably say, well, yeah, of course they are, because they know you come to church, right? But if we get down to the just even the basics, how do you treat others? How generous are you with the things that God has given you? Do you help when you're needed to be helped or when someone needs it? Do you do the things that Christ has called you to do? More importantly, you see, there's a whole book of scriptures that God spoke. You follow all of those commandments? Do you follow all the things that Christ laid out for you? We pick and choose, don't we? Sometimes. We pick and choose whether we want to love that person. We pick and choose whether we want to help that person. We pick and choose whether we want to be friends with that person. We pick and choose the things that Christ told us. There's no picking and choosing. You do what I've told you to do. I believe that we customize Christianity to fit what we want it to fit. You can customize all kinds of things in our culture today, can't you? You can customize your clothes, you can customize your shoes, you can customize what kind of food. If you go to Sheetz, you got the made-to-order, right, screen where you can just go in and you customize how you want your hoagie made. You can customize anything you want to customize to make it fit your preferences. One thing that you cannot customize is God's Word. But we tell God, I'll take the love of God, but I don't want his wrath. I want the mercy of God, but I don't want his judgment. I want his blessings in my life, but that whole take up your cross and follow Jesus, that's not for me. There are parts of the Bible that we decide that we really like and we really want to love and embrace, and then there's other parts that we don't want to hear, right? We open our scripture and we start reading something that maybe God is trying to show you that you did wrong in the week, and so we open our scripture and we start reading, and because we don't like what God is saying, we go, well, let's read something else. Look at Psalm 36. I have two different versions up there. The first one we have is the NIV. It says, an oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. The other one is the New Living Translation. And it says, sin whispers to the wicked deep within their hearts. They have no fear of God. To restrain them in their blind conceit, they cannot see how wicked they really are. Sin whispers to the wicked. But do you know who else whispers? God whispers, doesn't he? He's a still, small voice, isn't he? You see, some of the times we try to go back to the Old Testament and we think that God is going to have this booming voice, that he's going to talk to us in a burning bush, or he's going to come down and he's going to just slap us on the head or something and tell us that we need to do something, but that's not the way that God works, is it? Sometimes he does. But he's whispering to us in a still, small voice, and you know what? He's whispering and sin is whispering. Listening to? Which one has more in your life? Does God, who is whispering, does he work in your life, or does the sin that is whispering, is it taking over? See, because sin tells you, hey, go ahead and do whatever you want. Isn't that the kind of culture we live in? I'll do what I want. You see, sin tells you it's your life, it's no big of a deal. Don't take that God stuff so seriously. It's your body, you can do with it what you want. Don't let them judge you. Don't let them impose their values on you. It's not going to hurt anybody anyways. You see, those are the things that sin tells you. God tells you differently, doesn't he? He tells you that this God stuff is very serious. And the commandments that he has given you are very serious. They have no fear of God to restrain them, to change them, to conform them to the image of Jesus. Look at a lot of people today. Is winning out. Why? Because there's nothing to restrain them from following after sin. There's nothing that is restraining them and saying, that is not a good choice. You see, when you and I, when we are falling into sin and things are not looking the way that they should, we have this nagging feeling within us, right? This feeling that says, that is not right. Do not go down that path. But what happens is, sin, it keeps whispering in our ear, and it keeps whispering, and it says, it's okay, it's all right, nobody's going to know, just do it. And what happens is sin wins out. Because then we listen and we listen, and for some reason this side where God is, he kind of goes away because we want to follow this. It's okay. Let's just do it this one time. Following sin just one time, okay? Is it good for us? Because what happens is we follow sin, we listen to the whisper of it. What did the NIV part say? It said, for in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. You see, we fall into sin, and then what happens is we flatter ourselves and we can't even see the sin we're in. We've fallen so hard and so fast that we don't even know that we're sinning. Not only that, we don't even realize that we have no fear of God. We have fear of God. When we stand in awe and reverence for the holy God, then sin can't win. You know why sin can't win? Because the voice of God will be louder. You may say, well, I've got such conflicting things and things are always battling and sometimes I can't hear God's voice. Well, sometimes we can't. Because that's human nature. Sometimes we put God out because guess what? We don't like what God's telling us. Right? We want his blessings but not his judgment. We want his mercy but we don't want the wrath. What if we are so blind to our own self-centeredness that we don't see what God wants us to do? What if we are so blind to the way that we have customized our Christianity to fit what we want rather than what God wants? This morning, I want you to take the scales off of your eyes and see, are you customizing your Christianity? Sometimes we just use the gift of forgiveness. Well, I can just sin. I can do it because Christ, you know, he went to the cross. He died on the cross for me to be forgiven. So it's okay. I'll just ask for forgiveness later. What if later never comes? Or what if you fall so far into that sin that you can't get out of it because you think, I gotta keep doing it. Or what if you make somebody stumble and somebody else falls into sin because of your one time? You see, when we stand in awe and reverence for God, we don't want to fall into sin. When we stand in fear of God, then sin has no place for us. Now, the fear of God can be really tricky. We have a pendulum, well, we used to. It's kind of swung the other way, but there was a pendulum, and it was swinging over this way at one point. You would go to church, and there would be a fire and hell brimstone, right? You're going to hell. It's the way it is. If you don't change your ways. Churches have kind of gotten away from that, haven't they? Because why? Because the pendulum has now swung this way, and it's, I want a feel-good story. I don't want you to stand up there and tell me that if I'm doing this and this and this, that Christ is not going to cover me with his blood, because that's going to be a sin. I don't want you to tell me that. I want you to give me the feel-good story. I want you to tell me that he's my comforter. I want you to tell me that he's got mercy and grace and forgiveness and he's got all of these things. I want you to tell me that, but don't you dare tell me that he's going to judge me someday. Our churches have got away from telling people that right now we have grace and we have mercy and we have love, but there is a day coming that those things will be gone. There is a day coming that those things will be no more, because we have them now to make sure that we are prepared for the day of judgment. Be prepared. See, I was always taught, and I believe I've told you this before, but in a couple weeks, there's a lady coming who's on our prayer list to talk to you. She always, her and her husband, Doug, they were my youth leaders, always taught me to never sugarcoat the Word of God.
Amen.
Why never sugarcoat it? Because if you sugarcoat the Word of God, you're only setting people up for failure. If you sugarcoat the Word of God, then you're only setting people up that when they go to Judgment Day, where's the grace? Where's the mercy? Where's the forgiveness? If we don't tell people to be in fear of God, that we need to stand in awe and reverence of Him, that when sin comes our way, that we need to fear God in a sense that we need to make sure that we are not falling into sin, but yet we are making sure we are lined up with God, then we're setting them up for failure. And I always told myself, going through college, and then when I was studying under Wesleyan Church, I always told myself that I would never sugarcoat the Word. Because my responsibility as your shepherd is to lead you to the path of righteousness. And then once you get there, God's the mighty shepherd and He takes over. But if I sugarcoat it and I don't lead you there, then I'm only leading you to failure. You see, in each and every one of you, you have a responsibility to your families, to your friends, your co-workers. You are the leader to lead them to Christ. But if you're sugarcoating God's word, or you're not living as if there is a God, then how do you expect them to know that there is a God? You say, well, how do I fear God? I found this, they call it an equation. It says, loving God plus respecting God equals fearing God. You see, if we love God and we respect God, then we're going to fear Him. In a way that we say, if sin comes down our pike, if something comes down and it says, and it's whispering in our ear, it's okay, you can just do it this once, it's all right, it's not going to hurt anybody, it's your life, you do what you want to do. And we say, but God's word says that I shouldn't, and it says, but it's okay. Then guess what? If you're loving and respecting God, then you're going to stand on the firm foundation of Christ. And you will not falter to that sin. Why? Mightier than anything, isn't He?
Yes.
Christ can do anything, doesn't He? And then when we have Christ and we're following and we're standing in fear of Christ or in God and we're standing in fear and we're in awe and reverence, guess what? We put Christ here, don't we? Then guess who gets the flaming arrows of Satan? Guess whose arrows, when he shoots them at you and he says, I want you to falter, I want you to fall into sin, I want you to do this and that, and he's trying to persuade you to go another direction rather than the direction of Christ. Guess who gets those arrows? That would be Jesus Christ. And then guess what he does? He deflects them from you. He shows you that you are stronger than Satan. Why are you stronger than Satan? Because you have Jesus on your side. Defeat Satan on our own. Nothing that we can do as humans could defeat Satan. But when we stand firm, and I'm talking firm, on the foundation of Jesus, on God's holy word, then there is nothing in this world that we cannot defeat if we are following after Jesus. Proverbs, there's a lot of fear of the Lord. I'm just going to give you three examples of them today. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, where does wisdom start? It starts by loving and respecting God. That's where it starts. You want to be wise and make a difference and make good decisions? Then you need to start fearing God. Proverbs 14:26 through 27, those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a place of refuge for their children. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life offering escape from the snares of death. Who fear the Lord are secure. Isn't that an amazing statement? Secure. When I think of being secure, I think of safety. I think of nothing being able to harm me. I think of nothing being able to come in and around me that's going to hurt me. And when we have fear of the Lord, we are secure. Nothing can come in and harm us. Nothing can come in around us to hurt us. You say, well, why do bad things happen? Well, we're still human, right? We're still sinful. Bad things are going to happen. But when we are secure in Christ, when we have the fear of Christ, when we are secure in His love and we respect Him, then guess what? It makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? It takes you out of that which destroys you, and it brings you into the blessings that God has for you. Proverbs 22:4 says the true humility is a fear of the Lord that leads to riches and honor and a long life. Fear of God is not something that we run from. God can lead to blessings. One of the greatest stories that I thought of, there are many in the Bible that we could look at with fear of God, but one of the greatest stories that I always think of is Genesis chapter 22. It's the story of Abraham, whose greatest desire was what? To have a son, besides serving God. His greatest desire was to have a son. You know, he wanted a child, and he kept praying for a child, and for decade after decade after decade, he never got it, right? Finally, God makes good on his promise that he will have a son. He makes good on his promise, and he gives him Isaac, and Isaac is growing up. He's a young man, and then God does what? He says, Abraham, go and sacrifice your son. Now, Abraham, he's been praying for this son. He's wanted this son more than anything else. And now God's saying, go and sacrifice him. What does Abraham do? He gets up the next day, right? And he goes out and takes his son up to sacrifice him. No questions, no nothing. He gets up and he takes him up there. Because he loves God, because he respects God, because he fears God, he's going to obey God. So he takes his son up to a mountain. He fastens his son to the altar. He takes the knife. He lifts it above his son's head. And he's about ready to sacrifice his son. Thankfully, an angel appears and tells him not to do that. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Abraham prayed and prayed and prayed for a son. God promised him a son. And then God was going to take that son away. But what did Abraham? He had a fear of the Lord. Didn't he knew that whatever God's will was, whatever God was going to do, it was a great and mightier thing, right? He wanted to obey God because he loved him. He knew that God would not do anything to hurt him. He had faith in God. You see, when we have fear of God, then we just obey God no matter what it is. Now, I think this is one of the greatest stories of faithfulness and love and fearing of God. But at the same time, I look at it and I say, God, I don't know if I could ever be that faithful. Why? Because I don't know if I could sacrifice my two children. Be so faithful and obedient to Christ that when God says, take your son and sacrifice him, that Abraham just gets up and goes. Me, I'd probably be sitting there arguing. A lot of faith. We think we have a lot of obedience. We think we have fear of God. at your everyday life. Look at your week. Are you really fearing God throughout the week? Really saying, well, it's okay. I'm in my own home. Nobody can see me. Nobody can hear me. Nobody's really checking in on me to see whether I'm looking over my scriptures or studying them or reading them or anything. I can just forget those for the week. I'll get it on Sunday whenever I'm in Sunday school and church. About the ones that occasionally come and attack us. I'm talking about the sins that every day that we struggle to make sure we don't fall into. Or there are ones every day that you have to struggle to stay out of. I remember the movie. I don't know how many of you have ever watched it, but the movie Fireproof. Movie, and in it, it's a married couple and they're struggling and they're looking to have a divorce, and the father of the guy, he comes along and he gives him this thing to do, that he's supposed to love his wife each and every day. Show her respect, show her some kind of kindness, do something nice for her. And so he starts this 40-day journaling and stuff where he's supposed to do something nice. One thing that the husband struggles with that the wife does not like is that he struggles with it day in and day out. In the movie, he does all of these nice things for his wife, and his wife just cannot, she thinks he wants something. She thinks he's up to no good, and so she, every time he does something, she turns it away, and she always has some kind of comeback for it. Well, you're just doing it because of this, or you're just doing it because of that, or she doesn't accept it, and she doesn't appreciate it. And so he gets frustrated halfway through, and he looks at his computer. And in the movie, it looks like he's going to turn it on, and he's giving up. And you know what he does? He rips that computer out of there, he takes it outside, and he smashes it. Things in our lives that over and over and over again, without the fear of God, we struggle with. And if we do not take those things and smash them, they're going to continually take over. Got to prune the sin out. I found this quote. It says, "The fear of the Lord is an ongoing attitude of my heart that moves me to choose over and over again to obey God when it would be easier to do something else." Stand in awe of God. If we stand in fear of God, then we, like Abraham, will stand in obedience. Is obedience always easy? Well, of course not. In the Bible, does it say that obedience is easy? Obedience is part of being a Christian, isn't it? Obedience is part of being a child of God. Those of you with children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews or any child in your life, what's the one thing from birth that we teach them? Obedience, isn't it? My two children, when they act up, they get set on timeout. Or sometimes, I know that's not a good thing in our society, but discipline is good. God disciplines us, doesn't he?
Amen.
We're teaching, Ryan and I are teaching our children to be obedient, to follow the rules that we have set out before them. And when they do not follow those rules, there's consequences, isn't there? You see, there are rules that God has set out before us. Read them. Genesis through Revelation will tell you there are rules that God has set before us that we must follow. But you see, what happens is when we are not in awe of God, when we are not in fear of God, when we do not fear the wrath and the judgment that someday will come, we say, well, you know, I can just do it because, look, in the Gospels, Christ died for my sins. He'll forgive me. What does he tell sinners in the Bible too? He says, go and what? sin no more. You know, he doesn't say, well, I've forgiven you, so now you can go ahead and go do it again. No, he says, sin have in fear of God that leads us to obedience and leads us to go sin no more. So I want to leave you with the question. In what area of your life are you not fearing and not obeying God with? And then there's the other question. What are you going to do about it? You see, because once you identify the sin that you have, once you identify the area that you are not fearing God, you are not obeying God, then guess what? You can't just say, well, that's it right there. You've got to do action. Be fireproof, as I talked about it. He could have looked at the computer and he could have said, well, that's my problem right there. But what does he do? He takes action, he goes and he rips it out of his home and he smashes it out into the garbage can. We've got to move and do something. What area of your life do you not fear God in? God. If you're not, then it needs to change. You need to do something. Whatever God is telling you, whatever His Holy Spirit may be leading you to do, you need to change it. Each and every day, we need to be standing in fear of God, not flattering ourselves. And we need to be able to detect and hate our sins so much that we get rid of them. Allow God to be the one whispering in your ear. Allow God to be the one to be guiding and directing you. Don't let it be sin. Don't let sin rule you. But stand here in reverence and awe of the most holy God. Will you hear our last hymn?